On Chaf Amid Aleph, all the way at the bottom of the page. The Gemara was discussing about if you have something in your, you're watching something for somebody else, can it become Tomei, does it become Tomei? And the Gemara was saying, basically, Rabbi Yechon said a statement, and the bottom line, really it's an answer to a question, but we need it for the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara said, Amid Rabbi Yechon said a statement, 925. Chazaka in other meshamim mashibiat chaveri. There's a chazaka that a person doesn't watch properly what's in somebody else's hand. Meaning, for your own things you'll watch. For somebody else you're not going to watch. This is where we left off last time. So the Gemara is v'lay, is that true? Batanya kechafa midbeis. Batanya, we learned in the Braisa, had a shahoya chamar of a pail of to'un and taharis. If someone hired donkey drivers, or workers, to carry tahar items on the donkey. And he hired them to carry tahar items. And he knows that obviously donkey drivers are not on the highest caliber of tzaddikim, so they basically have a din of illiterates, which basically they're not believed when it comes to purities and impurities. So it says, afal pi shehiflig mehem yaisim mimil, even though they separated themselves from him, from the owner, more than a mil, which is 2,000 amits, let's say 3,000 feet, to hares of taharis, the things remain kosher. Why? Because the workers are afraid of touching something. What are we afraid of? They're carrying barrels of stuff. Okay? Now, if they stick their hands into the barrel, they're going to make everything tummy. Now, the question is, could we trust them that they're not going to do it? So the Gemara says, if the owner didn't say anything, they just happened to separate a mill, even a mill. Okay? The worker, we're not afraid the workers are going to touch something. Why? Because the boss may catch him. They don't know where the boss is. They don't know when the boss is going to come. But if he says, Im Amar, if he says to them, Luchu go, v'ani ovar acharechem, I'll follow you later. And as the boss says to the workers, you know, you guys can go and I'll come back later. Kivin shenisalmo ein of mehem. The second they don't see him anymore, taharis of tameis, his taharis all become impure. Why? Because now they're not afraid he's coming because he said I'm coming later. And then, by the way, this is a very interesting halacha. Not only in these dinim, but l'mashal mashgiach. You have a mashgiach in a store. If the mashgiach says, "Okay, I'm going away for 2 hours now," it's worthless. Because the workers in the store know for 2 hours they can do whatever they want. Whenever Meshgiach is leaving, he should say, I'm coming back soon.
He could say he's coming in 2 hours, he'll come back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but once he says, yeah, but usually that doesn't happen. Once he says, I'm going to be away for 2 hours, the workers know they're safe for a while for sure. Therefore, a guy should never say, you know, I'm coming back in 2 hours. You should say, I'm coming back soon. This applies by a lot of dinim, you should know. It applies by, if you leave a housekeeper in a house with meat all over the place, you know, Basir was called Basir in the Solomon Ayin, all these types of laws. If you tell them I'm not going to come home for 3 hours, then there's a problem. They might exchange the meat, they might do something wrong, they might cook, they might bake, they might, who knows what they're going to do. You don't say when you're coming back. You know, sometimes you have a problem also, which is another interesting practical shaila, with Yichud when it comes to babysitters. Let's say you have a girl babysitter with a bunch of boys overnight, so it might be a problem of Yichud. And if the parents say we're coming back in 3 hours from now, so then for those 3 hours there's a problem with Yichud, so to speak. If they don't know the person can come home at any given moment, so then there's no din of Yichud, because they're afraid to do something, because at any moment somebody can come in. Anyway, coming back to this Gemara, so it's a practical halach even today in certain things. So it says over here as follows. The guy hires workers to carry pure things. So it says, even if they go away from him a mile away, as long as they don't know that he's coming later, so they think he's coming at any given moment, it's good. What happens if he says, go and I'm coming after later? So then everything is tummy as soon as he disappears. So the Gemara says, Maishno Reisho, Maishno Seifo. What's the difference between the first case and the second case? So it says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Okay, basically the Gemara's question is, the bottom line is that even if they're a mil, I mean, what's the difference ratio in the Sefer? Now, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Nafar Rabbi Yitzchok says, Reisha, the first case is speaking, b'metahed, when he purifies the donkey drivers and the workers before. Gemara says, in the first case, the Gemara thought like this, if the guy's a mil away, a mile away, you obviously can't see that fire. So why over there is everything still pure? And in the second case, if he says, I'm coming later, it's automatically impure. Okay, so the Gemara's initial answer is, the first case is speaking, well, the guy who hired the wagon drivers made everybody go to the mikveh. So therefore, they're all pure. So we're not afraid that they're going to make something tummy. The second half is speaking when they didn't go to the mikveh. So therefore, as soon as he doesn't see them anymore, everything becomes tummy.
These are Jewish wagon drivers.
Yes. So the Gemara asks, if so, say for nami, then the same case should be where he also told him to go to the mikveh. So why is there a problem? So he says, the reason is, an ama'aretz is not particular about contact of his fellow ama'aretz. Meaning as follows. An illiterate doesn't think he's an illiterate. An illiterate thinks he's as religious as everybody else. So an ama'aretz doesn't really think he's tummy. So he says, yeah, the guy made me go to the mikveh because he's nuts, but I really don't need no mikveh. You know, I'm pure. And therefore my buddy, who's going to come later, you know, he's also good. He's good enough, you know. So therefore, what's going to be? The wagon driver himself is tahor because he went to the mikveh. But along the way, he might bump into one of his friends, and one of his friends might touch the barrels, and they're going to make a tummy. So the Gemara says, Yahi Seifa Nami. I'm saying, Yahi Reisha Nami. So then in the first case also, why aren't we afraid he might meet friends, and they're also going to touch the wine and make a tummy? The Gemara says, it's speaking, B'bolo Amdercha Kolosin. They went in a roundabout road. In other words, the boss, it's possible that the boss can come from a different way and meet them. So over there, they're always afraid he's going to come at any given moment. Because he can come in a different route, and then he can come. So Gemara says, then, what's the difference? I'm saying, what's the difference? So Gemara says, "Kiven the amar lo lechu v'ani avi achareichem." This is what we explained all the way at the beginning. The fact that he said, "Go," and I'm going to come later. Mismach samcha daitel. They're confident that he's not going to come for a while. They're not afraid he's going to come for a while. In a normal case, when he doesn't say anything, at any given moment, they're afraid the boss is going to come. So therefore, they're afraid to touch anything. But the Seifa is speaking in a case when he says, you guys go, I'm going to come later. So they say, oh, later, so for an hour or two, we're for sure we can do whatever we want. So we'll touch it and not touch it, so we're afraid everything is going to come to me.
Even if the barrels are sealed?
No, we're speaking about the case where the people... Okay, well, we're going to get into this. Well, the difference is as follows. It depends what type of barrel they are. Most barrels were cheres, earthenware. The earthenware utensils is the opposite of everything else. For instance, if this is a normal metal vessel, okay, and a person who is tamei touches the outside, everything inside becomes tamei. The vessel, let's say a cup, okay, this is a metal cup, and there's water in there, let's say, and a tamidic person touches the cup on the outside, the cup becomes tummy, and everything inside becomes tummy. What happens if the glass is half full, half empty, and the guy sticks his hand inside the air of the vessel, but doesn't touch anything? So the din is nothing becomes tummy, because he didn't touch it. Okay? That is by metal. Glass, metal, those types of kelim. Earthenware is just the opposite. If a person touches the outside of an earthenware vessel, nothing becomes tummy. If he puts his hand in the air inside, everything becomes tummy. It's just like, just the opposite. So here, obviously, if we're talking about barrels, it depends what we're talking about. If you're talking about barrels made out of earthenware, we're afraid they stuck their hands inside the barrel. If you're talking about other barrels, then it's outside.
What are they carrying? It doesn't matter what they're carrying.
Pure food.
If it's sealed also, it becomes common if it's metal.
No.
Metal?
No.
If it's open.
Oh, the outside does become tummy. Yeah, it does become tummy.
Outside and inside?
Outside and inside. Outside and inside.
And if it's earthenware and sealed.
Then it doesn't.
Then, yep, then
right, then not, it doesn't.
Nothing.
Okay, this finishes Hadron Achlein Darshan. This finishes this second paddock. Okay, the third paddock and the last paddock of Chagiga. We learned before in the Gemara that there are different levels of tumah and purity and impurity. And we learned everyday stuff called chulin goes to a sheni. Truma goes to a shlishi. Kodesh goes to a revi. Okay, that's the extension of tumah. In other words, if something which is av hatumah touches something, it becomes a rishon. If that touches something, it becomes a sheni. So by chulin, it only goes to a sheni. By truma, it goes a step further. Even if it's a shlishi, it could become tummy. By hegdish, by kodesh, even a fourth level could become tummy. Okay, that's what we learned before. Now the Mishnah is going to say there's 11 strictnesses of hegdish over truma. And they're very easy ones. But there's 11 strictnesses that the Chachamim made hegdish stricter than truma. What are they? Number one, Chaymer b'kedush mibetruma, the stringency of kedush over truma is shematbilim kelim b'teich kelim l'truma, that you converse, immerse vessels inside vessels to purify them, but not l'kedush, not when it comes to kedush, meaning what happens if you have truma, which vessels of truma that became tummy, so you have to put them in the mikveh. So what happens if you have two pots, and you put one inside the next? You're allowed to immerse them both together, one inside the next. Why? Because the fact is the water gets all over. They're not sealed with each other. The water gets all over. So technically, if you toivel truma kalim like that, it's good. For kedush, the Chachamim said it's no good. Just to be stricter. What? What's the difference between Hegdish and Truma? Hegdish refers to those things like sacrifices, karbanis. Truma is when you have grain, you own a farm, you have to give a Kohen Truma. So the Chachamim gave Truma because of the holiness of Truma, because the Torah calls Truma holy. So therefore, there is a certain strictness that truma food has over all other food. Meaning, number one, only a kohen could eat truma. Nobody else is allowed to eat truma. A kohen and his family. But in addition to that, the Chachamim made it stricter because in certain places the Torah calls it holy. So the Chachamim said, you know what, we're going to make it stricter than everyday food. So food that you and I eat stops at the second level of tumah. Truma goes to another level, and Hegdish to a fourth level. So, the Chachamim said as follows. When you have to immerse pots and pots, Truma you could do two together. Hegdish, you can't. Why? Because, again, they wanted to make it stricter. And, again, later on, he's bringing down, the Gemara is going to explain, like Rashi himself says, the Gemara is going to explain why, later on in the Gemara. Another strictness is, Achurayim v'teich ubeis hatzvita b'truma, the outside and inside and the tzvita place, and the Gemara is going to discuss what tzvita place is, are considered separate vessels. I'll explain in a second. What? You're a warm Jew. Okay, now, what happens give you a simple example. A crock pot is two utensils functioning as one. Right? Then you have a crock pot. You have the metal outside and then you have the insert. But basically it's two separate kalim, but it's used as one keli. So the question is, when one becomes tamei, does the other one automatically become tamei? So it says, by achuraim, the outside of a utensil, the separate parts, the inside of a vessel, and the tzvita place, and again, the Gemara is going to discuss what the tzvita place is. So it says, they're considered as separate vessels, as far as truma goes, not as far as hegdish goes. Meaning, as hegdish, if one touches a part of it, both become tamei for hegdish, because it's one keli. So for hegdish, they're stricter. Another case is, hanesi is a midras, one who carries a midras. A midras means something, like for instance, something that the Zav's weight went on. They give a simple example, the shoe. If a Zav, a person who was tummy, wore a shoe, so the shoe becomes, it's called midras. So what happens? A neisi is a midras, a person who's carrying a midras. Neisi is a truma, can simultaneously, in a different hand, carry truma as long as they're not touching. Avolei is a kedish, but not kedish. Meaning, as long as it doesn't go into the airspace of the utensil, so by truma it doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter by truma? Because you're not touching the two kelim together. But by hegdish the din is the fact that while you're carrying one, you're not allowed to carry the other simultaneously because it's going to make a tummy. Either not touching, it's a strictness that the chachamim made for hegdish. Another strictness is big day echli truma, the garments, and this we learned before in the Gemara, a person who eats truma, meaning he purified himself for truma, midras a kedish for kedish is still tamei. Remember this we learned a page ago in the Gemara, that somebody who is pure for truma is still tamei, has to go to the mikveh again for hegdish. Even though he just went to the mikveh for truma, the fact that his intention was only to sanctify himself for truma, so for Kedish, he's still tummy. So the same thing. The garments of a person that wears truma, that eats truma, meaning he's pure for truma, becomes tummy for Hegdish. What?
The crack patch. If, let's say, one of them becomes Taj, does the other also?
By what?
By the crack patch. That we consider it one clue.
Not by truma, no. It's two separate kelim.
Even by truma, no?
Yeah. That's what he says. By truma, the inside and the outside are two separate kelim.
As long as the earth are worth
it, right? Not necessarily.
Because you're not direct touching the vessel touching the vessel.
Yeah, it's separate things. If it's one vessel, any part of the vessel you touch automatically impurifies the whole vessel. But if there's two separate vessels, then you can't make it. It doesn't go that far. It's a very simple concept. A keli can only become tamei from avatuma. We learned before in the Gemara, people and kelim, not food. Food can become tamei from other things. People and utensils could only become tamei from an avatuma. Now, if an avatuma touches right over here, even though you only touch this, the whole keli becomes tamei. Because it's one keli. But what happens if I have a crock pot, and the insert goes inside the crock pot? Now, when I touch the outer keli, technically, that keli becomes tamei. But that becomes a rishon. Because I'm the av, I'm touching that keli, becomes a rishon. Now, a rishon cannot make another keli tamei. So if the outside becomes tamei, how could the inside become tamei? It's a different utensil. You could take it in and out.
The outside and inside, two different things? Are you talking about the same keli, or are you talking about
the crockpot?
The crockpot, I see.
Well, they're not talking about crockpots here, obviously. But the example of a crockpot. Now, a crockpot is one keli or two?
Two.
Well, so the Gemara said for trum it's two, but for hegdish it's considered one. Meaning, if the keli belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, if it was a crockpot that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, and the guy touched the outside crockpot, the mechanism, so the inside is also tameh. Because it's made to be used as one keli. But that's a strictness for hegdish, because technically, it's two different kelim. It's two different kelim. So therefore, just because I touch one, that becomes a rishon. A rishon cannot make another keli tameh. So why should that inside keli become tameh? And for truma, tak it doesn't.
The zav is av
hatum.
So when you pick up his shoe, how can you touch the truma?
No, because carrying is a different. That's another strictness of law of carrying. That's going to make a tummy anyway. But
the same material, like metal, is it doesn't become tummy the inside also?
If it's two different vessels, no.
Isn't the same?
Yeah.
But they're touching. It's not like separate. They're overlaps.
But it's still a separate vessel.
Because it's separate.
Yeah, and the one keli cannot make another keli tummy.
Talking about today's thing, or
those days? Well, today doesn't. Today doesn't matter anyway. We're old tummy. It doesn't mean anything. We mentioned in the olden times when somebody was tummy, when a person was tummy, they wore special garments that everybody should know their tummy. A woman when she was a nida had special garments that publicized to the world that she was a nida.
Yeah, well, right now, if you have a crockpot that the outside layer is unkosher, and you put an insert in it to cook in it, we're not allowed to do that. Are we? So it could apply today, too.
No. No. It treif in kosher has nothing to do with purity and impurity. Now, by utensils, if you have a treif utensil and a kosher utensil next to each other, touching each other, okay, and there's no liquid on either wall, okay, two things, it cannot become treif one from the next without liquid.
Cold or hot liquid is
not. Doesn't matter. No, cold liquid is not going to do anything. I'm saying, if both pots are hot, but they're dry, I'm not saying people should make a habit of doing it, but I'm saying after the fact, if one pot is kosher, one pot is treif, and they're both hot, and they're dry, because there's no liquid connecting them, one cannot become treif from the next. But treif, you're talking about not an irrational concept of purity and impurity that doesn't make sense. Here you're talking about, does it absorb treif taste or not? So it's just a physical question, does it absorb the taste of treif or not? If it absorbs the taste of treif, it becomes treif. If it doesn't absorb the treif of non-kosher, then it doesn't become non-kosher. But it's a whole different concept than purity and impurity. I mean, if there's a dead body in this room, God forbid, everybody in this room becomes tamei. Nobody's touching it, nobody even sees it. The fact that you're under the same roof as a dead body, everybody is tamei. Now, if a man is tamei, and we're in the same room, you're not going to become tamei unless you touch me. Right? And then if I touch you, and you touch him, he's not going to become tamei either. Because I'm av, so you're rishon, and a rishon can't make another person tamei.
But food
goes. So again, and it's completely illogical. I mean, we know all the laws of Tumentara are illogical. But the concept of absorption of utensils one from the next,
it's physical.
It's physical concept. It absorbs, it doesn't absorb. So it does. I mean, this concept doesn't apply today. And then he says another thing. Like midas hakedush, midas atruma. Unlike the rule of kedush is the rule of truma, as far as this next din. That what? Shabbat kedush by hakedush things matir umenagev. One who wishes to purify a garment has to untie the knots. He has to dry the garment, umatpil, and immerse it, and then achakach keshu retie the knots. Meaning, a cloth or a sheet whose corners are loosely tied to one another. Okay? So, for Hegdish, if you want to tevel this, you want to immerse it in the mikveh, the din is, you have to first undo the knots, yet then you have to dry it. Okay? Why? Because by Kedish, the Chacham were so strict, they said like this. If you have a loose knot, technically, water can get in. Okay? Therefore, if two garments are knotted, technically, water can get in there. So for Truma, it's a good immersion. You can immerse it in the mikveh, that's going to be good, because the water can get through. For Kedish, the Chacham said, you got to do a few things. Number one, you have to untie the knots. Then you have to dry the garment before you immerse it. Why do you have to tie it before you immerse it? So the Gemara explains, because when it's wet, it causes the garment to swell. And when it swells up, it could become bunched in certain places. And we're afraid the water won't get in into those slight crevices that are bunched up because the garment is still wet. So according to Halacha for Kedish, you have to untie the knots, dry it, tevel it, and re-dry it. Tie it. And for Truma, you don't have to do that. You could take it as it is and tevel it. Yeah. If you have had tzitzis, you'd have to untie the knots. Yeah, you have to undo the whole tzitzis. Yeah. You have to undo the whole tzitzis. Only for Hegdish, though, not... if your garment... trust me, if a person was Tamei, then the garment that he's wearing became Tamei. Right? Then he has to put his shirt, tzitzis, undershirt, pants, shoes, everything has to go to the mikveh. Not nowadays, in those days, yeah? So, right. Would he have to undo the tzitzis? No. But if this was Hegdish, and he had to table it, he would have to undo the tzitzis and dry it, and then immerse it, and then retie it. Anything, and again, this is a strictness that's, so to speak, I use the word, but a far-fetched problem of Kedush that the Chacham said, but because it's Kedush, it's so holy, we're going to go even to the strictest nth degree that you should make sure that even though water can get in normally, I'll give you an example. According to Halacha, technically, if a Talmudic person jumps into a mikveh with his clothes on, technically, a normal tumah, it's fine. Why? Because technically the water gets all over.
Loose clothing.
Loose clothing, yeah. The water gets all over. For Hegdish, that wouldn't be good. Based on what we're learning here, all these Gemaras, it wouldn't be good. It's like Tevelin Gakeli and Akeli. For Truma, it's good because the water still gets in there between the pots. So it's good. For Hegdish, the Chacham said it's no good. Then he says, by truma, kaisha, you could tie the knots first, then matbel, then you could tevel it. Because again, the knots don't get in the way. Then he says, kelim anikmarim betahara, and then he goes another strictness for Hegdish. Vessels that were made with purity, meaning the guys that made the vessels went to the mikveh themselves, and they made the keli, and the keli is 100% pure. You want to use it for Hegdish, you have to tevel it again. The question is, but it never became Tomei. The guy that made it was pure, everything was fine. Chacham said, a strictness, for Hegdish, you have to tevel it.
Everything that went to Hegdish was
tevel. Yep, that's what he's saying over here. Tzrichim tefila l'kodesh, need a special tefila for hekdesh. Avolei l'truma benafer truma. Next, hakeli mitzdarev mashe b'seichel l'hekdesh. A vessel combines what's in it as far as hekdesh goes, meaning what happens if there's you have five chalas in a pan and a guy touched one of them, do all five chalas become tamei?
Depends for
hekdesh. For hekdesh, yes. For truma, no. Why? Because I touch one, so the other one is a lesser degree, lesser degree, it doesn't become...
Each other?
Yeah.
Are they wet or not cooked yet? Is it still wet?
For hekdesh, it doesn't matter. For hekdesh, though, the vessel makes everything in the vessel one. You touch one, you got them all. For truma, you touch one, you didn't get them all. What you touch, and the other thing you didn't touch. And like we said, I mean, Rashi explains that what will happen if you have five chalas in a truma story, so obviously the first one will become a rishon, so what it touches will become a sheni, shlishi revi, or shlishi, will stop by truma. If an avatuma, let's say you have a big pot full of 5 apples, no, make it 10 apples, okay? There's a bowl with 10 apples in it. And the guy who's an avatuma touches one of the apples. So normally what happens, that apple becomes a rishon, the apple that touches that is a sheni, the apple that touches that would be a shlishi, revi, chamishi, shishi, shvit, you know. Now, chulin would stop by a sheni. That means if I touched, there's 10 apples in the pot, and they're lined up, right? So each one's only touching one. If I touch apple number one becomes a rishon. The apple it's touching is a sheni. That's it for chulin. For truma, it's going to go to shlishi. So 3 apples are going to become tamei, but the rest won't. By hegdish, the din is the pot makes all the 10 apples into one. You touch one, they're all equally tamei. But they're separate apples. You're not touching them. You're touching one, so it should go down 4 levels before hegdish. The Gemara says no. The strictness of hegdish is you touch one, the keli makes them all.
Is that the keli with a wall?
Or? Yeah, the keli with a wall.
What if it's a flat?
No, they're not. It depends. If it has a din of a keli, if there's a little wall, you know, if it holds things. But if you have on a table 10 apples, it's not going to go like that.
Like the shovel that you use to shove the bread in the oven.
Depends what it's made of, metal or wood. But that's not. But like this, with a keli, makes all the things in the utensil into one. You touch one apple, they're all tummy. Next, haravi b'kedish pasul. Okay, this is a din that we learned already. By hegdish it goes to the v. By shlishi b'truma, by truma it only goes to a shlishi. By truma, and by truma another thing. Im nitma achas miyadov. If one hand becomes tummy. If one hand becomes tamei, ein chaverto tahira. The other hand is still tahar. Now, Rashi explains, this is speaking by rabbinic tuma. By biblical tuma, you touch any part of a person, the whole person becomes tamei. By biblical tuma. By rabbinic tuma, what we learned in the Mishnah before about washing your hands. So the Mishnah says, by rabbinic tuma, it's only what you touch needs to be washed. So therefore, if my hand became tamei, the other hand is not tamei, because I didn't touch it. By hegdish, you touch one hand, both hands become tamei. We're talking about rabbinic tuma now. What?
You touch one hand. Like, you only touch something with one hand. Isn't there a rabbinic tuma safek? Whether you
No, but we know for sure you touched or didn't touch. In other words, I'll give you an example. What happens technically? A person, and this is a practical halachah. What happens if you were, we wash for bread today because of truma, the whole thing midrabanim because of the tumah, right? Like you learned. What happens if a person washes for bread, okay, and then touch their shoes? So then is, you have to wash your hands again for bread, without a brach. What happened if only one hand touched the shoe? So the din is, you only have to wash one hand.
Is the shoelace the same cloth?
Yeah.
As the shoe?
Yeah, it's part of the shoe. It's connected to the shoe. So, or you pardon the expression, what happens if somebody picks a nose, or puts their finger into the canal of the ear, then you have to wash again. Right? Now, technically, you only have to wash the hand that became tummy. The other hand I washed already. That didn't touch your ear or your shoes or your nose or you scratch your head. So that hand doesn't have to be rewashed.
It could be.
Oh, you could, yeah. Most people do it because, you know, it's habit already. But I'm saying, technically, one hand becomes tummy, the other hand doesn't necessarily become tummy. By Kredish, Chacham said, one hand is tummy, both hands become tummy.
What if you take the handle and you wash one hand and you take with the other hand, the first was tummy, you wash the hand and then you touch again the handle with tummy hand and then this hand becomes tummy when you wash the other hand?
You mean because...
What happens then?
If it's dry, if the thing is dry, it doesn't matter.
No, but you wash one hand, it becomes wet, right?
But now it's not tummy anymore. Because you washed it. Once you washed it, it's not tummy anymore.
Like in the morning, but when you...
But that's why the Chabad uses a napkin.
One of the reasons.
Right?
Well, one of the reasons. I mean, whatever. This other reason we don't even know about.
If you touch other objects, it doesn't come to come tummy. Like chair or...
Who?
After you wash.
If your hands are dry, no. If your hands are wet...
No,
I'm saying, if you washed your hands and you didn't dry your hands yet, and somebody who didn't wash touched your hand, you have to wash again.
Unless something.
No, something's not tummy. The hands are tummy. Not only that, if you washed one hand, and before you washed your second hand, by mistake, your left hand touched your right hand. So you have to wash your hand again, but you have to dry it first. You have to dry your hand and then wash again. If you washed, you know, sometimes you wash both hands and then somebody wants to take the kvart, the vessel, and by mistake they touch you. So say thank you very much, you dry your hand and go wash again. You have to be careful. Yeah, you have to be very careful. If your hands are dry, it doesn't matter. If your hands are not dry, it matters.
If this tumah is midrabanan and you don't wash and you touch the bread, what level of tumah you have?
Rabbinic tumah on the bread. Whatever. If you're rabbinically a rishon, so it becomes a shein. I mean, whatever you are, that's what it is. Next level.
Nobody else can eat the bread.
Well, if it's chulin, it doesn't. You know, chulin you're allowed to eat if you're tummy. Unless if you eat chulin, like we saw at Taras HaKadosh. But technically, chulin, you're allowed to eat if you're tummy. There's no din of eat truma, you're not allowed to eat when it's tummy. But chulin, if you want, you could eat when you're tummy.
So, if you wash for bread and you made a bracha, and you touched your shoes, or somebody else touched it, you have to make a bracha again?
Wash again without a bracha. If somebody talked, they should wash again without a bracha. Huh?
Before
going to sleep at night. The whole day. Okay. Okay. Sheyad mitamis chavet tebakedish, because one hand automatically can make his counterpart tummy when it comes to hegdish, avalei betruma, not when it comes to truma. Now eichlin neguvim yadayim misavos, you can eat dry food. Excuse me. With contaminated hands for truma, avalei bekedish. Excuse me. Okay. Now, it says over here, you're allowed to eat dry foods with your hands for truma, but not for kedish. So Rashi explains over here, what does the Gemara mean? Because l'cha'edah, we learned before in the Gemara, that once something becomes wet, it becomes susceptible to tuma, even if you dried it. Remember we learned that it becomes susceptible to tuma. Once it becomes wet, that's it. Now permanently it's susceptible to become tummy. So over here Rashi explains, the Mishnah is referring to a case where it never got wet. The food never became susceptible to tuma. So therefore, if your hands are tummy, you could touch it because it can't become tummy. It was never susceptible to become tummy. It never got wet. But for hegdish, even if it never got wet, and never became susceptible to tumah, you're not allowed to eat it anyway. Even though l'chayr cannot become tameh, because it was never susceptible, it was a chumrah that made by hegdish. More than by tumah. And then it says, ha'einin u'mechusse kippurim, ha'einin is as follows. When a relative passes away that you have to sit shiva for, it's the easiest way of classifying that. When a relative passes away that you have to sit shiva for, from the time of death until the funeral, you're called an einin. An einin is not allowed to eat anything of hegdish, as we'll soon see the details. Or mechusse kippurim, or a person that mechusse kippurim. Mechusse kippurim means as follows. There are certain tumis, azov, let's say, that the Torah says, after you finish the tumah and you go to the mikveh, you have to bring korbanos. Now korbanos you can't bring at night. So when do you bring the korbanos? The next day. So let's say Monday, the guy became tummy three times. So then, Monday night he goes to the mikveh. Okay, but he's not completely pure yet. Because the Torah says you have to bring korbanos. Now when he's mechusse kippurim, meaning, until he brings korbanos, he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chacham said, for truma, you can eat truma. But for hegdish, you have to go to the mikveh after you bring the korban again. You still can't eat hegdish until you go to the... So he said...
When he's walking the animal into Beis HaMikdash, he's talking.
One second. It means to bring the required offerings. No, I'm sorry. He doesn't have to go to the mikveh again. He went to the mikveh before, but he still has to wait until he brings the korbanos. So hegdish he cannot eat until he brings the korbanos, and truma he can eat. And the same thing is with an einin. An einin cannot eat hegdish. Okay? So he says, as far as hegdish is concerned, even after the funeral, he cannot eat hegdish until nightfall. So the funeral is 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So he still can't eat hegdish until night. Truma he can eat as soon as the funeral is over. And he says, they need tefillah l'kedish. They still need hegdish. They need to go to the mikveh. Oh, I was right. I'm sorry. Even after he brings the korbanos for hegdish, he needs to go to the mikveh again. And for einin, the chacham said, you want to eat hegdish? You have to go to the mikveh after the funeral again. Even though he didn't come in contact with the dead body. So he's not tamei. He still has to go to the mikveh again. But not for truma. Okay. Now the Gemara continues and says as follows. The Gemara is going back to the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah said that Truma, you're allowed to immerse one vessel in the next, and for Hegdish not. Right? That's what the first case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, my time, Bakedish, my time, Aloy, what's the reason why by Hegdish you can't immerse one vessel in the next? If the water can get all over, what do you care? Why can't you immerse one vessel in the next? So Amar Rabila, Rabila Semne Shekvedish Okeli Chaitis. Because of the weight of the inner vessel, it poses a separation between the water and the bottom vessel, or the outside vessel. In other words, if you have an outside vessel, and you put another vessel inside it, the weight of the inner vessel constitutes a chatzitza, separation between the water and the outer vessel. So the Gemara says, but it can't be. For me, the Tanna says, at the end of the Mishnah, it speaks about chatzitza. At the end of the Mishnah, remember we learned the knots. If you have knots for Hegdish, you have to undo it and dry it. And it says over there, because of chatzitza. Over there, if it says because of chatzitza, because of separation, that means here we're not talking about separation. Because over there it says it's separation. It means here it's not separation. So that we see, they shalav mishum chatzitza. Why? Because the Tani Sefer, because we learned in the Sefer at the end of the Mishnah, v'lei k'midas hegdish midas ha-truma. That hegdish is not like truma, shabakedish, because by hegdish, mati, you have to untie the knots, minagi, you have to dry it, umadvon, to table it, v'achakach keshen, then you could retie the knots. Uva truma, by truma, we say kesher, first you can tie it, and then table it. And over there, it's obviously because of chatzitza. That means the first case of the Mishnah is not speaking by chatzitza. So how can you say the reason is because of chatzitza, because of separation? Bechlal is like, let me explain this then before we even go further. And this applies today also. You need to take a keli and put it in the mikveh. Okay? Now the Torah says the whole vessel must be immersed at one time. If you have a sticker at the bottom, you know, made in China. Like most things today have made in China. It's not a good tefillah. Why? Because there's a part of the keli that has a separation between the water and the vessel. The sticker separates. When a man, or especially women, go to the mikveh, they have to make sure that there's no chatzitza, that there's no foreign substance between the water and the person. Okay? Because the Torah says, V'rochatz b'mayim, as kol b'soray, your entire flesh has to be immersed in the mikveh. So therefore, if you have a cast, you have a band-aid, you have, I mean, all these things, it's, you know, basically what's called chatzitza. I'll give you a little hint. The same thing applies to washing for bread. If you have dirt on your hand, it's called a chatzitza.
Or a ring.
Right, all these things are considered, that's why women take off the rings when they wash. Or men that wear rings do too. You have to take off the rings because that area is not letting the water go to the skin. That is what's called a chatzitza. A chatzitza disqualifies immersion of any type. Because when the Torah speaks immersion, the Torah says the water has to come in contact with every part of the vessel or the person. Any foreign substance that separates the water from the person or from the vessel is called a chatzitza. Now, in the Mishnah we learned that if you knot it, okay, it's behegdish, even though technically it's not a chatzitza, because it's the object itself. It's not a foreign substance, it's the object itself. But nevertheless, for hegdish we make that you have to separate the knot first, dry it. So why? Because of chatzitza. But the first part of the Mishnah says, you can't table one pot in another pot. By Hegdish, but by Truma, yes. So the Gemara is asking, now why by Hegdish can't you? Why can't you table like that? The water's getting all over, what's the problem? So the Gemara answers, because it's a chatzitza. Why? Because the weight is going to be touching one part of the vessel against the next. And water can't get in between those two areas, so it's a chatzitza. So Gemara says, but you can't say the reason for that is chatzitza, because the end of the Mishnah talks about chatzitza. That means the beginning of the Mishnah, we're not talking about chatzitza. That's the way the Gemara works. So the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, no, reisha v'sefer mishum chatzitza. Both, case number one and case number five, are both because of chatzitza. Why do I need the same din twice, basically. Chatzitza is chatzitza. So why do I need the din twice? So the Gemara says, Tzricha, I need both cases. Why? The Iyashmin in Reisha, if it would only say the first case of the Mishnah with one pot against the other pot, Hava Amina, I would think, you know, time of the Lekedish, no. Like, you know why by Hegdish you can't table a pot in a pot? Mishum Kvei, the Shokeli, the Ika, because there's the weight of the vessel which causes a Chatzitza, because the vessel is touching the other vessel, because of the weight, and the one, forget the water, makes it go down even more. So therefore it's a Chatzitza. Avol Seifa. But at the end of the Mishnah, we're talking about knots in a vessel. The lack of Kvedish or Keli, where there's no weight of the Keli, I would think even for Hegdish it's not a Chatzitza. That even for Hegdish it's good. So therefore it says the end case that even knots, where it's not really weight separating it, is still a Chatzitza. So why don't I just say the end and I'll know the beginning? Because the Yashmin is safer if it says only the case of the knots. Hava mina hain the time of the Lekedish lay. You know why Bekedish is no good. Mishum the kitre b'maya haduki medik. Because a knot gets very tight in water. You know, a knot gets tight in water. So over there, maybe that's where the water doesn't go in. Avol reisha. The mayak for your mak for lemona, but water, forget, makes the pot float. Because you have water in the pot, it's going to pick up the other pot. I would think, lehava chatzitza, I would think it's not a chatzitza, so tzrich, I need both cases.
Or maybe in this case it's possible that it touches it and become like a chatzitza. But in the first, in the terum,
the truth is, the Gemara says by terum it's not a problem either case. Right? Because the truth is the water does get. But I would think maybe by one case, by Hegdish, the weight of the vessel makes a problem. But by knots, there's no weight of the vessel, so maybe it's not going to make a problem. Right? But then we go in reverse. That maybe by knots, it's worse because the water tightens the knot, and therefore the part of the garment that's inside the knot can get immersed. You know that, I mean, men don't have that problem. But Moshe, when the lady has to go to the mikveh, she has to make sure there's no knots in her hair. Or tangles in the hair. Because in the place where there's knots, or tangled hair, the water doesn't get in. And if the water doesn't get in there, it's a problem with the immersion. Because knots, especially when they get tight, and here they're tight. So even though the knot might have been loose to begin with, but the fact that the water tightens the knot, I would think that's why by Hegdish it's no good. But maybe by the weight of the Keli, it would be good by Hegdish, because if anything, the water from the inner Keli, I mean the water that's in the outer Keli, inside the outer Keli, makes the inner Keli go up a little bit, so water will get all around. So the Gemara says, I need both cases to tell me by Hegdish, you still can't do it.
Why Chatzitza is okay for Terum?
For?
For Terum?
Because the Gemara is learning, it's not a real Chatzitza over here. Because the fact is, water does get in. If you take a thing that's knotted, okay, and put it in the water, every part of it's going to be wet. So the truth is, for Teruma, it's not a real Chatzitza. But when we're looking for strictnesses of Hegdish, I would think even in strictnesses, you know, there's a limit to strictnesses too. There's a limit to Chumrus of how strict you have to be. So I would think over there, you would be able to be lenient, and by the knot, you'd have to be stricter. And the opposite way, maybe by the knot, it could be lenient, and by the pot, be stricter. So we need both cases.
The knot initially doesn't get wet if you just temporarily, like quickly dip it. If you soak it, then maybe we get it.
We're speaking in a case, obviously, that the whole thing is getting wet. So it's soaking in a hot mikveh. Even though in those days the mikvehs weren't hot. It's only a recent invention to make mikvehs hot. No, even in Halach it says mikveh should not be hot.
It should not be hot.
What?
Halacha says that. So then why do we have hot?
Otherwise, people won't take them.
Mm.
Huh? Or the 9 days? What's the? It's the same thing. Okay. Next week, I don't think there's.